through 12, we've covered verses 1 through 9 fairly well for the last several weeks. I didn't plan to stay this long on the Beatitudes, but it's really been a challenge to me, the Beatitudes, because they're a lot deeper than what they appear on the surface. And it says, verse 1, Jesus, and seeing the multitudes, he went up upon a mountain, and when he was set, the disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying the words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now 10, 11, and 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake or for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your rewards in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just pray a blessing upon the reading of your word, for the power, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, for the teachers with us, Father. We just want to thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God to teach us and lead us and to guide us as he will in the name of Jesus Christ. We do humbly pray. Amen. Did you know Christians are persecuted? Did y'all know that? And the reason they're persecuted, the mark we're living, I believe, in the shatters of the last day, according to the word of God, because of the increasing persecution on Christians and the true church. I believe that is another one of those milepost signs that I didn't preach on when I was preaching on that. The increasing of persecution. There's always been persecution, even whenever Jesus' day, but the increase of it is so much wider now than it was in Jesus' day. But genuine Christians are Christians. All of them genuine, if they're Christians, cannot escape persecution. The surest evidence of salvation and of the end times is persecution to Christians. When Christians openly, boldly, and plainly take a stand for Jesus Christ, they will be persecution. Wherever you live, 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not maybe, not might. Jesus Christ says shall, or the word of God says shall. There is a war on Christianity. There's a war on Christians. People, all they have to do is just turn on that television. Across our nation, there's a great battle against Christianity, but also around the world. You know, one of the main things that ISIS is against, and they are against Christians. They didn't cut the heads off of other religion, but they just cut the heads off of Christians because they hate Christianity. It's okay for all other religions, but not Christianity. The president, I'm going to tell you, this Islam that he protects, that's against Christianity. And a whole party that follows that is against our freedom and our Christian freedom today. The limitations of our Christian freedom is, some of them went to Atlanta, you know, to stand up for our Christian liberty. But there's a war on our Christian liberty today. And I'm going to tell you, I really do believe this election's coming up is the most important election ever in the history of this country that we're living in. Now, if people don't believe that, if they don't wise up, and Christians especially, to understand there is a whole party that is against Jesus Christ. Now, someone said, you must be a Republican. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not a Republican. And I'm not a Democrat. And I'm not an independent. I'm a Christian. And I'm going to vote for the one that I feel like is closer to the Lord. Not no party man. And I tell you, Christians better wise up and they better start supporting the stand for Christianity instead of against Christianity. We have today, it's terrible what we have going on today, but we have a whole outpouring war against Christianity. You know, we have joy in Christian life, and joy is a thermostat, you know, in our life that controls our life, the joy in our life. But you see, persecution is a thermometer that really measures our life. You see, how much persecution are you really having? I got to thinking a lot about this, and you know, these Beatitudes, like I said, they have given me a challenge. They really have. They give me a challenge, and I haven't a long time because they're deeper than what appears on the surface of the pages of the Bible, which all verses do. But these goes deeper when Jesus Christ is speaking. Now, this first beatitude is all on inside job. You know, we studied these first. It's all about inside, about the heart, all on inside. But you know this last one? It's an outside job, being persecuted from the outside, coming against you from the outside. Verse 10, 11, and 12 again. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your rewards in heaven, for so persecution they the prophets which were before you. You want to be a Christian? I title this message tonight, Job Description. Occupation hazardous. That's exactly what it is. Somebody think they get saved and all the problems over with. Did y'all know as a Christian we have a hazardous occupation called a Christian? And it's going to be more so in the future around the world and also here at home. You're seeing more and more all the time. So the job description of being a Christian, the occupation of staying and living a Christian life, is hazardous to your life. And we're going to see this more and more as the day approaching. And these three headings help us understand why would anybody want to persecute a good, loving Christian? Why would they want to do that? A good, loving Christian. I hope these three helps you understand that, the reason for persecution, the results of it, and also the reaction of persecution. As we understand this tonight, why would be someone that always wants to go about doing good and helping people, Christianity, why would anybody want to persecute us? Why did they want to persecute Jesus Christ? He ran around doing good, so much good, they crucified him. The lifestyle that we show is one thing. The lifestyle that Jesus Christ showed, also the lifestyle as a Christian we show in verse 10. If you live a righteous life, they will persecute you. They will. Why? Again, would they want to do that? But they will do that. Righteousness. Did you know righteousness comes from a word that means division, divide? Divide. You see, Jesus Christ, you think about this just a moment. He is one of the greatest dividers that ever been in the world. Divider. Divider. Because you see, this world, that's what he came to do. Divide dark from light, good from evil, wrong from right. So Jesus Christ and Christian today, that righteous word means to divide. It means to be different. And you see, we need to be different. 2 Peter 2:9 says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that you should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, that's the reason we are different. Particular, that means that we are different. You know, we're different than the world. We should be, shouldn't we? We should be different from the world because we are children of the light. They are children of the darkness. Jesus came to divide that. We live by faith. They live by sight. We understand them that's lost, they don't understand us. We're different. We are very peculiar people to the world, and we very well should be. Persecution, we are salt. What the salt do? It irritates you. You have a cut on your hand, it will irritate and it will sting. Light, you know what light does? It reveals. See, the president don't like Christianity, although he calls himself a Christian. But he don't like Christianity. He's against Christianity. Every way he can be, he's against Christianity. You see, because it irritates him. It stings. And you know what that light does? The light of Christianity reveals his heart that he's for killing unborn babies. And he's for homosexuality. You can't be for Jesus Christ and be for those two things if nothing else. No matter what you want to call yourself, it don't make you a Christian by calling yourself a Christian. The United States, we're divided over Jesus Christ right now. We're divided in this political arena that we have in before today because of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, some people say, well, you know, you all for the Republicans. I tell you what, the Republicans ain't a bunch of Sunday school teachers neither. I'm not for one party nor the other party. I said, I'm one, it just wants to be the closest for Jesus Christ. And no matter which party it is up there in the halls of Congress, whenever they make a decision, it's always going to cost us more money. I don't care what party it is. It's always going to cost you more. But you see, the lifestyle that we live, it starts out from a different course. We start out from Jesus Christ. We start from Jesus Christ. And you see, we follow a different course in the life that Jesus Christ tells us to live. But we're headed towards a different conclusion that the people of the world is headed to. That's to be with Jesus Christ always. If you're righteous, you're in an unrighteous world. And you're going against the tide. You're going upstream. If you are a righteous person, which is a Christian. Persecution, and then there's punishment. Punishment, we are punished by good people by doing wrong, but you see, persecution, we're punished by evil people for doing right. Verse 10 again, as I have read before, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 1 Peter 4:14 and on. If ye be reproached or insulted for the name of Jesus Christ, it says, blessed or happy are ye, for the spirit of glory of the God rested upon you. On their part he is evil spoken, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as a evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matter. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. A lot of times, just make sure what they're saying about us is wrong. Sometimes we suffer for wrongdoings because we're not doing right. Because we will do wrong things as a Christian, won't we? Won't we do that once in a while? Persecution, there's a plus and there's a minus. There's a negative and there's a positive. It must be false about us. If we're going to suffer for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it must be a false saying. Because you see, there's a lot of things they'll say about us. Sometimes they tell the truth on us, but it's the fault things that Jesus Christ is talking about. Righteousness, I said, it's divide, persecution. And that word persecution means to pursue. Now here's what Jesus Christ is talking about. They're going to persecute you. You know what that means for us today? That word means that they're going to pursue you. That's what they're doing to Christianity in our country right now. That's what they're doing to the nation of Israel. Just about the whole world is pursuing the nation of Israel. They are pursuing you as a Christian. That's the reason that we're called the great Satan in the United States, because we have so much Christianity over here. they persecuted us in a way that they are pursuing us. They're going to keep on pursuing you, and it's never, ever going to stop. They're going to track you down. They're on your trail, and they're watching you as Christians here in this country and for all over the world. Here's the way it works. Homosexuality. People that are homosexuals, they're going to pursue you as a Christian. They're going to hunt you down. You remember this lady up there, I believe it was in Colorado, so I forgot where the state was. She wouldn't issue marriage license, and they put her in jail because she wouldn't issue marriage license to homosexual, gays, and lesbians. You see, they wasn't satisfied. They could go anywhere else they wanted to get a license. You know what they was doing to her? They was pursuing her because she wouldn't do it. They're never going to be satisfied just having a marriage license. They want you and me to accept it as the truth, and they can't help it. That's a lifestyle. So they're going to be pursuing Christians on and on and on, and the battle's never going to be over with. That's the reason we got a party as far as homosexuals. They're against Christianity. And then abortion. On and on and on. You see, you keep going. Planned Parenthood. On and on and on. War. We are a divided people. And we're divided over issues as homosexual and abortion, all the things that's ungodly. And they're going to pursue you. They're pursuing Christianity in this world. That's the reason there's a war going on. They're going to keep on pursuing Christianity until Jesus Christ comes back. It's not never going to end. You better get your children, your grandchildren, everybody you know, you better get them under the Word of God and under the blood of God. Because it's not going to get any better, because they're going to keep right on and right on and right on pursuing after you as a Christian. You know, it makes me think of a bunch of sharks in the water, and they circling this person that's in the water. They're just waiting for one drop of blood to be dropped in that water. Then they're like a bunch of piranhas. They want to just start napping and eating you up a little at a time. That's what they're trying to do to Christianity. That's the reason they fight it so bad, because they're like piranha. It's a lifestyle that we show, but also it's the lies they're telling us that we suffer. And verse 11 again, as you see that, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. The lies they're telling us for my sake. Lies. You see, I'm going to tell you, you know what? The devil don't play fair. The devil don't play fair. He lies. You know what? Jesus Christ, they done the same thing to him. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He blasphemed God. Everything they said about Jesus Christ was a lie. Everything they said was a lie. They are the liars, and we have to suffer for that. But then you know what? See the Lord that we serve. In John 15 and 19 and on, you know what it says? If you were of this world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things which they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Remember, we know, we understand them. They don't understand us. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. They persecuted me. You're not no greater than I am. The Jesus that lives in you, they're going to persecute you always. Keep on, for my name's sake. Now, this world hates Jesus Christ. Now, they don't hate the little baby Jesus who's in the manger now. They kind of like that. You know, even the merchants at Christmas time, they like the little baby Jesus, you know, because it brings them in millions and millions and billions of dollars. The merchants, they like the little baby Jesus, and they like this Christmas time, and they like the programs that brings people into their places to buy money and the things they do. They don't mind the little baby Jesus around the world. As long as he's a baby, they don't mind that. And you know, they don't mind Jesus Christ about performing miracles. Now, he can just come and heal all he wants to. They don't mind that too much. He can just do that all he wants to. But whenever Jesus Christ came to this world, he said, I came with a sword and I come to divide and to rip off the mask of sin. But now you take my mask off, you know we're all robbers. You take the mask off where people can really see you. That's what Jesus Christ come to do. He come to take the mask off of sin. Now they hate Jesus Christ. Now you see, he takes the mask off these abortionists. He takes the mask off of Planned Parenthood. They say, you know, it's a woman's right. Jesus Christ snatches that mask off and say, no, it's murder of the unborn. Now they mad about that. Whose right is it? It's a woman's rights. No, the child's got a right. I don't want this baby. I want to kill this baby. I don't want to have this baby. But you see, they're going to have a baby. Their choice is a dead baby or a live baby. They say it's abortion, it's a woman's right. Jesus Christ said it is murder and it is a sin. It's not the woman's rights. I'm going to tell you what. It's God's rights. And you see, we got a whole party. It's for abortion. Y'all know that, don't you? How could anybody support abortion? It's got normal sense. I really don't understand how they could do that. We got a whole party. It's for that. Homosexuality. I was born that way. I can't help it. Jesus Christ rips the mask off of that. Says, I made Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. He rips the mask off. They don't like it. They want their rights. You see, that's the reason for persecution. But then results of persecution. The results of persecution. Verse 11 again, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, for my sake. Personal insults we have, very, very personal. They come to open ridicule you. Did you see how a lot of people on television, that woman wouldn't give those licenses and how the media, you know what, they made fun of her because she took a stand for Jesus Christ. She wouldn't do it. How about there was another party that had that cooked cakes and catered to weddings, and they wouldn't fix a cake or cater to the to a homosexual marriage somewhere or another. They want to put them, find them. I don't know what I want to put them out of ACLU want to put them out of business. Where was that at? Forgot what it was. How many $1,000 was it? They pursued them. That word persecution. They pursued that company. They weren't satisfied. They could go anywhere they wanted to. They could go to Walmart and buy them cake if they wanted to. That was not their idea to do so. It was their idea to persecute, to pursue anyone that's against the way they believe. And what happened? Open ridicule you. And they keep, in the news, they keep telling you, if it really wasn't for the Fox News channel, we wouldn't know what's going on in this country. I'm going to tell you, it is getting very, very critical in our news. Physical intimidation. You know, there's people in prison right now because of Christianity. Over at Iran, you know, they got four of them people out. One of them was in there because of his faith. He was a preacher, you know. People are killed around this world. We want to do business with China. They kill so many people. They butchering Christians and ISIL, you know what they do? They cut the heads off of people. You know what that thing is called, a president? He said, well, you know, the Christians done some bad things maybe way back on hundreds of years ago also. Taking up for them bunch of people that cut the heads off of them people. Yeah, well, Christianity done some bad things too. Oh, Lordy. Pakistan, Sudan, Syria, other of those nations, people are being killed tonight because they will not submit to the Quran or change over to Islamic. They are put to death because of that. Social injustice. Mark 13, 9 said, but take heed to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils and synagogues. You shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must be first be published among all these nations. It's going to get worse. Social injustice. Sometimes it comes from the religious world. Sometimes it comes from our own government. Rulers and kings is talking here about the government. It says the religious world, that's the synagogues and the council there today. The system, the court system today is loaded against Christianity. Supreme Court judges today, it is loaded against Christianity. I hope they hold tight and don't let this man that's called a president appoint another liberal judge against Christianity. It could happen. I'm going to tell you, they run the ACLU, and that was an organization brought about by the Democrat Party, fed by the Democrat Party, and supported by the Democrat Party. And also, it's running now into colleges and professors and university, and every bit of it is against Christianity, whether you believe it or not. Mark 13:11 says, but when they shall lead you, that means arrest you and deliver you up, take no thought, therefore, what you shall speak, neither do you meditate. But whatsoever you shall I give you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speaketh, but the Holy Ghost. Wonder what's going to happen. I'm dying. You don't know what to say. Y'all remember Littleton, Colorado, where Nancy Bernal was shot down. Y'all remember that about a pretty good while ago in Littleton, Colorado. Out in school when those two boys come in, shot and killed Hammy out in Colorado, and this little girl named Cassie Bernal, 17 years old, she was in the library reading. She had on a WWJD bracelet, and she was studying what WWJD, that means what Jesus Christ would do. And the gunman come in the library, says, all pleasing God, stand up. Nancy Bernal stood up. Then he asked her the question, do you believe in God? And she said, yes, I believe in God. And he blew her head off. Do you think that morning when she left for school, that was on her mind that she was going to say, yes, I believe in God? Never crossed her mind. Probably didn't ever cross her mind to that second. That very, very second when that gun was facing her face. And he asked her, do you believe in God? The verse of scripture says, for it is not ye that speaketh, but the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, told her exactly what to say. And she went out to be in the presence of the Lord. What will you say? For it is not ye that speaketh, but the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 13:12-13. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. Children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of men for my name's sake. But ye that have endured to the end, the same shall be saved. Suffering. It's in our homes. It's in families today. And I don't have time to keep going into that, but it is. The reason for this persecution and also the results and the reaction of persecution. He says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? I wish I could get onto this because it's getting better and better, but I can't. My time is out. But I'm going to go over the titles of it anyway with you because I had so much fun with this. What is the kingdom of heaven? That's where kings rule and reign. When someone comes to persecute you, and they will, because they're following after you, they're pursuing you, what do you need to do? You need to reign with Jesus Christ. Well, how do you do that? Well, human beings live on three areas. Y'all give me one more minute. Can y'all give me one more minute? Y'all give me one more minute. We all live on three levels. Now, the first level is a hellish level. And that hellish level is where people returns evil for good. That's a hellish level. And the second level is where a lot of people live, they return good for good. In other words, evil for evil. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. If you do something good for me, I'll do something good for you. A tooth for tooth and an eye for an eye is where most people live at. And then you see there's the heavenly level. Return good for evil. This third level is where you reign with Jesus Christ. Remember when someone persecutes you, you reign with Jesus Christ. Well, how do you do that? Well, you live on this level. It's called the level of the kingdom of God. It's where Jesus Christ reigns and rules. When someone hurts you, what do you do about it? Living on this level, the third level, did you know a bulldog will whip a skunk anytime? But you know why he don't? Because it just ain't worth it. That's what he's talking about. Rejoice in the Lord. If you get persecuted, the evidence that you're living in a godly lifestyle with Jesus Christ. Then the last thing, we'll hurry now, you release love. This is the third level that we should live on when we're being persecuted. You remember in Acts, I won't get a chance to go in Acts chapter 7, whenever they brought old Stephen, he was preaching the word of God, how the people persecuted Jesus Christ, put him on the cross, you Jews, they made him so mad, they persecuted him, they followed after him, boy, they was after him, they was after Stephen, I'm going to tell you why, they was right on his trail, they caught old Stephen, and you know what they done? They stoned him to death for preaching and teaching the word of God. And you know what he done? He was living on that third level. For y'all stoning me, I living on a third level. You know what he said? Same thing as Jesus said. Don't put this to their charge, but forgive them. And when he was expressing that love, there was a young man named Saul holding the people's coats as they were stoning Stephen. And later on, we know you find out that Saul changed, or that God changed his name to Paul on the road to Damascus, because he remembered what old Stephen had said. Stephen saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, Jesus Christ must be sitting on the right hand of God. Stephen saw Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of God. You know what Jesus Christ was doing when anybody lives on the third level, the reign and rule of Jesus? You know what Jesus Christ was doing as he was sitting on his throne, the right hand of the Father? And old Stephen, what he was doing, Jesus stood up and he welcomed Stephen home, and glory with him, because he is living on the third level, to reign and to rule with Jesus Christ. That's the issue for us today. Do we want to reign and rule with Jesus when we're persecuted? And you know what? Jesus Christ didn't say it's going to be easy. I tell you, I don't know how it was for old Stephen whenever that stone began to hit him and he began to fall on his knees. And they kept hitting him. He kept getting lower and lower, and they would keep hitting him, you know, and then he looked up to heaven and he saw as a face of an angel and God standing there. Father, he says, don't lay this sin to their account. I'm living on the third level. I want to release love. And there's no telling how many people we don't know was saved because of what that man done and how he reacted. We know old Paul was. He can never get it out of his eyesight, in his ears, what he saw that day. When he was on that road to Damascus, he understood he was persecuting the church. Oh, I know I went long. God bless you all and thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody want to say anything? If you don't, stand up and say amen and we'll go home. And God bless you. Father, again, we just don't know where the time goes so fast, but we just want to thank you so much tonight. We don't even know where to begin in our everyday life. We have so many people on our sick list, and so many people, Father, in our prayer box, our hearts, our minds, difficult days. And Father, we're going to be living in some difficult days in the future. It's going to get more intense. But we know that Jesus Christ, on the right hand of the Father on high, he's looking down upon us. And I'm going to tell you, he's ready to welcome us home. When it gets so bad in this world, that we cannot stand it. He's coming after us. We want to thank you tonight for each and every member of this church. In the name of Jesus, amen.